Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the specially marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please take note that today's Shiur for Daf Mem Dalet begins on Mem Dalet Omid Beis at the beginning of the new Perek, Perek Kol Nishboyin, the seventh Perek of Shavuos. In our previous shiur, the shiur for Daf Mem Gimel, we were forced by the nature of the Gemara to spill over well onto Daf Mem Dalet as well. So we have this remnant of Daf Mem Dalet for our Mem Dalet Daf Yomi shiur. Before we begin the Mishnah, you might want to note it's a long Mishnah, and the balance of today's Shiur, Mirtz Hashem, will be the Mishnah, taking us well down Daf Mem Hei, Omer Aleph. The Mishnah essentially is the entire Perek of Mishnayos presented right here at the outset. On the side of the Gemara, under our heading Mivneh, the crown shape appears, highlighting the expression Elu Nishboyin, Dugmois shel nishboyin shehem yotze doifen. Expressions or examples of shavuos, of oaths that are uncharacteristic, that are out of the ordinary when it comes to swearing. What we mean by that will Mirtz Hashem be explained when we get into the text. Another marking that will appear is featured under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the trapezoid, Elu Shenishboyin Venotlin. Examples of those that swear in order to collect. These are examples, in fact, that illustrate the first exception in general. As the Mishnah tells us, oaths are taken in order to substantiate or verify one's innocence, one's lack of obligation to pay. There are several exceptions, and they will appear in the Mishnah, of people who, as a result of their oath, they're swearing in order to collect. Later, when the Gemara starts, it will present a source for this idea that, from the Torah's perspective, oaths in the realm of Dine Momenis are oaths taken to exempt one from paying. Now, the text, the Mishnah. Kol HaNishboyin SheBetorah, all those that swear by virtue of the Torah mandating an oath, Nishboyin V'lo Mishalmin, they swear, and as a result of their swearing, they end up not having to pay. V'elu Nishboyin V'notlin, the following are those, we say exceptions, are those that will swear, and as a result of swearing, they will be able to collect. And they are, number one, Hasochir, number two, Vahanigzal, three, Vahanechbal, four, Vishit Kenegdei Choshen Al Hashvua, number five, Vechenvoni Al Pinkoso. The Mishnah explains each one, hence no need to pause right now for translations. Number one, Hasocher Ketzad. What is the example of the Socher, the hired worker? Omar lo tein li schori sheyesh li biyodcha. Worker says to homeowner, to the balabayas, he says to the one that hired him, I want my wages. Hu omer? Employer responds, Nosati, I paid you. Vahalo omer? Worker says, lo notalti, I didn't get any pay. Hareze nishva venotel. Here is an example of someone that will swear and collect. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. You'll notice if you skim ahead in our Mishnah with the markings, you'll notice Rabbi Yehuda's name is underlined every few lines, and you'll also notice a dashed underlining. This theme, the theme that Rabbi Yehuda presents, will be repetitive as we go through several of these examples. So what does he say? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ach teisham miktsas hoida. The idea of swearing and then collecting necessitates, however, that there be partial admission to the claim. If we take a look in the Rashi, you'll find Rashi 4 lines from the bottom. Ad shetehe mixes haydol the rebuta lo tikni shvua lito ela b'mokam she shvua ala nitba. Rabbi Yehuda feels that the rabbis did not institute this kind of shvua, an oath enabling you to collect, unless it's a situation where there existed a Torah type shvua. The nitba is the one who is being collected from, and under what circumstances there a Torah level shvua? That's in a case where someone admits to partially owing. And in a case like that, where the nitba, the one being collected from, admits to partial owing, then once you have that basis, the Rabbanon moved in and transferred the shvua from the one being collected from to the one trying to collect. But without that prerequisite, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no shvua to begin with. There would be no shvua litol. So that according to the Tanakama, in the case we saw the employer saying, I don't owe you anything, I paid you everything. Total denial of owing anything. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we continue in the text, Ash teishom miktsas hoida. There is no shvua until there's the presence of partial admission. Ketzad. Well, illustrate that. Omar lo tein li schori chamishim dinar sheyesh li biyodcha. Worker says, give me the 50 dinar, that's an amount of money, the 50 dinar that you owe me. Vu omer. And the employer says, hiskabalta dinar zahav. You have already received a golden dinar, which is the equivalent of 25 silver dinars. So what do you see from here? You see that the nitba, the employer from whom collection is being sought, admits that there still is 25 dinar outstanding. Ordinarily, on the Torah level, he would be the one to swear, saying, I owe you only 25, namely, the balance, the other 25, I do not owe you. Now, under these circumstances, when you're dealing with a worker, so the rabbis took the shvua from the employer and put it upon the worker who wants to collect his money, you swear that you still have 25 dinar outstanding, owed to you, and collect. Nigzal Ketza, the second example was the case of someone who was the victim of theft. There are witnesses that said that there was entrance to his house to take from him a mashkon, a collateral, without license, without permission. Hu omer, kelai notalta. Owner says, you took my vessels. Hu omer, lo notalti. The one being collected from, or the one from whom collection is demanded, says, I didn't take anything. Hu nishba v'notel. Homeowner swears and collects. Rabbi Omer, ash teisham miktsas hayda. Until there's partial admission. Without any partial admission, there's no oath taking at all. Ketzad. What's an example? Amar lo shnei kelim natalta. Homeowner says, you took from me forcibly two vessels. V'omer lo natalti el echad. I took only one. And as we saw before, in a case like that, the homeowner is given the right to swear and collect the two vessels that he is demanding. Nechbal ketzad, victim of injury, of being attacked and injured. He swears and collects. What's the case? Hayumidim oso shenichnas tachas yodu sholem v'yotza chovul. There are witnesses that can testify that this individual, called the victim, entered the domain of so-and-so and exited injured. V'yomar lo, and the victim says, Chovatobi, you hit me. You injured me. V'hu omer lo chavati, I didn't do anything to you. Harezin ishba v'notel. Victim can swear and collect damage fees. Rabbi Omer, Ashtei shal mixes hayda. No vow, no oath until there's partial admission. Ketzad, an example. Omar lo chavata bishtayim. Injured me at a value of two. Valomer lo chavati boch elo achas. No, I injured you only to the tune of one. A better explanation for the last example might be that the victim said, you inflicted upon me two injuries, and the attacker acknowledged, but saying only one. Example 4. Shekenegdoi choshed al ha-shvua, ketzad. Where the one who is supposed to swear, but is suspect of lying, so the shvua is removed from him and placed on the other one. What's an example of this? We continue at the top of Daf Mem Hei. We spoke about someone who's suspect of lying with regard to shvuas. Achas shvuas ha'edus, whether it be lying concerning shvuas, concerning testimony, where, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, people deny knowing information, testimony on behalf of someone else. They are to swear to that effect that they don't know the testimony. If they're suspect concerning shvuas edus, v'achas shvuas apikodon, or they're suspect of lying concerning the theft of an item given to be watched, v'afilu shvuas shav, even if they're suspect of not adhering to their vows, or they're suspect of swearing vain type vows. Rashi describes that kind of person, though he is not evil to others, he doesn't hurt others through his vow, but nevertheless, he's suspect of vowing and lying in his vow. In other words, someone who would swear about a table made of wood that it is made of gold. Those are people that are choshud al hashvua. So that if someone is mode b'mitzas, for example, someone concedes owing part of a loan that he had received, that he still owes part, but he's suspect of lying, so we'll transfer the shvua from him and place it on the lender, who will swear and collect the amount that he claims is owed to him. If one of the parties is a gambler, umalve beribis, or he loans in exchange for interest, umafriche yoinim, he's a bird gambler, he races birds, v'sochare shvias, or he's a person that conducts commerce with produce that grows during the Shemitah year, which is forbidden. V'shekenegdoi nishba v'notel. So, if the one who ordinarily would have been expected to swear and exempt himself from the debt, but he happens to be a gambler, a loan shark, a vendor of shvias products, so then the other party, the one who is seeking collection, will swear and collect. Hayushneim chashudim, if, let us say, both parties are suspect, chazra hashvua lemakoma, divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, then, the Shvua goes back to where it originally was. That has to be explained in the Gemara, though. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachloku. Rabbi Meir says they divide. Number five, Vehachenvoni Alpin Koso Ketzad. The case involving the store owner. How are we to understand this? Pinkoso literally is his record book. Lo sheyomru lo. It's not a case where he is told kosuv al pinkosi shato chayav li mosayim zuz. It's written in my records that you owe me 200 zuz. Ella omer lo. Tain livni sosayim chitin. Tain lipoali besela mois. The example of chenvoni al pinkoso is where someone turns to the store owner and says, give to my son 2 saw of wheat, or give to my workers a sela. Give them money. Pay them a sela worth of money. The word mos is a reference to copper coin. So the request of the store owner, he says, listen, I have workers that need to be paid. Lay out their wages. A sela worth of prutos, of copper coins. Hu omer, the chenvoni, the store owner says, nosati. I gave what you requested, whether it's the 2 saw of wheat to your son, or the wages you wanted me to lay out for your workers. The hain omrim, the ones who were expected to receive, let's say the workers, they say lo natanu, we didn't get anything. So now you have the chenvoni, who had in the meantime laid, according to him himself, he had laid out, and money is therefore owed to him. And you've got the workers that did work and claim they didn't get paid. Who nishvav notel, the chenvoni swears that he paid out these things, the wheat to the guy's son, or the wages to the workers, and collects from the balabos, from the employer, from the father. Vehei nishvav venotlin, and the workers swear and collect from the employer their wages. So notice you have 2 oaths taking place. You might say they can't both be correct. Okay. Omar ben Nanos. Ben Nanos, upon hearing the Tanakama's solution to this, we'll say this controversy between the store owner and his claims versus the receiver and their claims, Ben Nanos says, Ketzad elu ve'elu boin lidei shvua shov. How could it be that through both parties swearing, there is definitely going to be a vain oath, an oath that's a lie. Elahu notel b'shvua, v'hein notlin shelo b'shvua. So Ben Anas, he says that the chenvoni will receive compensation, and here we're reading a girsa that is shown on the side, the Ran, who says that the chenvoni, he swears and collects that which he feels is due to him. The workers, they get their wages shelobish without having to swear. On the side, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, you see the house shape. This is used to highlight the words chenvoni and later shulchani. Shulchani is a money changer. Shnei mikrim shebechol echad yesh taina ukfira shokol tzad. Umid sorach lishava. 2 cases that are presented here in the Mishnah, you'll see a certain similarity in structure and in scenario between these 2 cases. So Omar lechenvoni, tain li bedinar peros. Man says to us, to a fruit store owner, give me a dinar worth. Dinar is a coin. That's a particular amount of money. Give me a dinar's worth of fruit. Venosan lo, and the fruit was delivered. Omar lo, store owner says, tain li oso dinar, give me the dinar that you expressed that you would pay. Omar lo, the homeowner says, Nosativ loch, I gave you the dinar v'nosatoi b'unpali, and you put it in your unpali. It's a wallet made for holding money. Yishova bal habayis, the homeowner, the customer, swears that he paid. That's an example of a shvua, not a shvua litol, it's a shvua, which exempts him then from paying. Nosan loy es hadinor, the customer paid the money. Omar lo, customer says, tain li es haperos, give me the fruits. Omar lo, store owner says, nosatim loch v'holachtim l'soch beisecho, I gave you the fruits and I personally delivered them to your house. Yishova chenvoni, the chenvoni from whom collection was sought, collection of the fruits, swears that he already delivered. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with point number one, or illustration number one. He says, Kol shahaperos biyodoi, he who is in possession of the fruits, yodo alhel yoina. So in that case, the chenvoni had given the fruits to the balabayas. The Tanakama, and we had underlined, said Yishova balabayas. Rabbi Yehuda, on that point, disagrees. Rashi, in the upper part of the narrow lines, Kol shaperos biyodo yodo lo yoina, areisha polig. As we illustrated with our markings, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on point one. Kidikotoni yishova baal habayis shenosan lo es hadinor. According to the first opinion, the homeowner, the customer, swears that he paid the money. V'yos Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar ain't sorach shvua. The customer who already received the fruits doesn't have to swear. She'ain derech chenvoni amoicher. It's not normal. It's not the normal way of a vendor who sells without extending credit. Standard practice is first get the money and then deliver the goods. So if the goods were delivered, it's clear that he, the balabais, had already paid and does not need to swear to substantiate that. We continue with a second example. Here we're dealing with a money changer. Omar l'shulchani tein li b'dinar mos. Give me an exchange for a dinar, the copper coins that are its equivalent in value. A dinar is a silver coin, and it is worth numerous copper coins. So we'll call them, the customer goes to the money changer and says, give me a dinar's worth of mos. Venosan lo, and the money changer gave him the copper coins. Omar lo, the money changer says, tain li es hadinar, well, give me the dinar. Omar lo nosati loch, venosatoi b'unpali, I gave you the dinar and you put it in the special wallet. Yishova bal habayis, bal habayis swears that he paid the dinar. Case 2, nosan lo es hadinar, bal habayis gave the dinar to the shulchani. Omar lo tain li es hamos, bal habayis, customer says, give me the copper coins. Omar lo nosatim loch v'shlachto l'toch kischa, I gave you the copper coins and you cast it into your pouch. Yishova shulchani, shulchani swears that he already gave the copper coins. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein derech shulchani litein isar ad sheyitol dinar. It's not the normal way of a shulchani to give the ca- cash that is requested of him until he receives first, prior he receives the larger coin from the customer. So that if you have a case where the Shulchani gave the copper coins, that's a simon that he already received the dinar from the Balabayas, and there is no need in case number one for the Balabayas to swear. As the Mishnah continues, we have, you notice, a long marking. The reading is a little, maybe a little cumbersome, because there's one long opening phrase, and if we just focus on the markings before we read the text, you notice a dash and a kishem shamru. That means just as it has been said, vis-a-vis, and then a number of points are mentioned. Then, after the long point, it says, kach hayisoymim, likewise with regard to orphans, and then several points are mentioned. So bear in mind the nature of the read over here in this section of the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading, a double underline is featured, which highlights the expression Lo Sifra Ela B'Shvua. That's a repeating expression we'll see in the Mishnah. Rishima Shel Toivim, we'll see a list of people seeking collection. She'enom Nifroim Ela Imkein Nishmoim. They don't collect unless they first swear. So now, we start. Kishem Shomru, as it has been said, Hapoygemes Ksubasa Lotifra Lobashwa, Vied Echod Miido Shiprua Lotifra Lobashwa, Minechosim Shubodim Minechose Umichse Yisoyim Lotifra Lobashwa, Vanifra Shalobifon of Lotifra Lobashwa, Kacha Yisoyim Lo Yifru Elo Bishwa. So too, when Yisomim come to collect, they collect only if they take a Shvua. And then there will be a list of things that they would have to say in their Shvua. Now, we read that through very quickly. We go over the examples. As it has been said, that none of the following examples collect unless they first take a Shvua. The first example, Habogemis Ksubasa, this is a woman that is demanding payment of the Ksuba from her husband. The Ksuba document itself says she has $1,000 owed to her in the Ksuba. She declares that even though when she comes and says, pay me the Ksuba, the husband says, what do you mean? I paid you the Ksuba. And she says, you didn't pay me the Ksuba. It's true that you don't still owe me $1,000. But you owe me 900. So she herself diminishes the amount from that which is actually written. So she's weakened the Ksuba document as a means of collection. So in order for her to collect what she seeks, she must swear. The second example, Ve'ed Echod Mi'ido Shi Prua. If you have a situation of a single witness testifying that the debt was paid, and the party seeking collection says, I didn't get what I was supposed to get. So, and the presence of the Eid Echad, the presence of the singular witness, makes it such that you have to swear to counter what he says and then collect. So an Eid Echad Me'ido Shiprua Lo Tifra Elo B'Shvua. If a single witness said that her Ksuba, for example, was paid up, she won't be able to collect unless she swears. Collection from properties that were sold. So if someone comes along claiming that he has a debt that predates the sale of the borrower's properties to other purchasers, and the lender wants to collect from the purchasers, he must swear. That's minichosim shubodim and uminichse yisomim. Someone claims that a man who is now deceased, owes him money, and he's seeking collection from the orphans. Lo tifra ela b'shua. Fanifrash lo b'fonof. This is a woman who is seeking collection for her ksuba, but the husband is not present. So she's nifras from his property, and he's not there. Lo tifra ela b'shua. So just like all of these collect only if they swear beforehand, kacha yisoimim. Likewise, with regard to yisoimim, v'chein hayisoimim lo yifru ela b'shvua. When yisoimim, when orphans try to collect, attempt to collect a debt that was they claim owed to their father, they can collect, but they must swear. And what will they swear? Shvua shelo pokadnu abo. They swear that father did not issue any instructions or declarations at the time of his death. V'lo omar lonu abo. Nor did he say anything. Shelo motsinu bein shtarosov shel abo. Sheshtar ze porua. Nor did we find any receipts amongst our father's documents that this shtar that we're trying to collect right now has already been paid up. So they're swearing that their father did not issue any instructions indicating that this shtar was collected, that the shtar that he had collected payments already. They swear that their father didn't tell them that the shtar has been paid up already, nor do they. And likewise, they swear they didn't find any receipts that would indicate that the shtar that they're holding has already been paid. Rabbi Yochanan Broko Omer, afilu noilad haben li'achar misas ha'av. Even in a case where a child was born after the father had died, hare ze nishba v'noteil. He can swear. Now, he can't swear that the father told him this or that. He wasn't born yet. But he can swear that he didn't find a receipt indicating that the shtar was paid up. If there are witnesses that can testify that the father at the time of death said, shtar ze eino porua, this bill of collection has not been paid yet, who no tail shelo b'shvua, the tovea, the son who is trying to collect, collects without needing to swear. V'elu nishboyin shelo b'taina. The following need to swear even though a claim against them wasn't made. At this point, we're translating, but these examples must be explained at greater length later in the Gemara. Hashutfin, partners. Harisin, sharecroppers. Apotropin, people appointed as executors. Voisha noisis v'noisinis b'soch habayis, a woman who is taking care of household expenses, purchases and the like. Uben habayis. Rashi, you will find in our special Gemaras, our Shas Ozer, we've included the Rashis that, though in the standard Shas, are found on Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, you can see them printed at the bottom of the page, and you'll notice the term Ben habayis. Echod min ho'achim shenisasik b'nechosim mishemes avim. One of the brothers, one of the surviving brothers of the family who has been dealing with the home expenditures. That's Ben Habayis. So all of these are examples of people upon whom we will impose an oath, even though there is no taina, there is no specific claim made. Omar lo, someone says, ma ata toanini, what are you claiming for me? Ritzoni shetishovali, I want you to swear. Chayov. So he has to swear. Cholku Hashufin Varisin, if partners or sharecroppers divided out the property or the produce, Ein Yochol Ashbio, then it's too late. It's too late to impose an oath. If a need for an oath arose from another situation, then we can extend the oath to the situation we just mentioned that doesn't allow for an oath. So once again, a principle we've seen in the past, once there is the basis of needing to take an oath for some other reason, then even those cases that one wouldn't be able to initiate an oath, nevertheless can be subjected to thus. Vashvius mishametes es hashvua. Shvius, the sabbatical year, creates the situation that no longer any oath is needed to be taken. But what oath are we referring to? So Rashi, once again at the bottom, says, Rashi's Mishametis is a Shvua. Lav Ahach Shvua Dishutis Koi. This last comment of the Mishnah is not a reference to the oath that partners would have to take. The Ein Shvius Mishametis Shutvis. Shvius does not cancel issues of partnership. The lo shvosa, nor the need for a partner to swear. Ella milve ushvosa. What the Mishnah is referring to is a case of a loan that is canceled by the Shemitah year, meaning with the passage of the sabbatical year, loans are suspended. Along with that are suspended oaths that one would have had to take regarding halvos, regarding loans. Many of the points in this Mishnah are vague. We didn't elaborate. We take our cues from Rashi, who mentions from time to time that certain questions will be raised and certain points will be explained. So, will Mirz Hashem wait for the Gemara to explain many of what appears right now as vague points in the Mishnah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.